Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly, and even now, while we are placed among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those that shall endure. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Please be seated for the readings.
The first reading is from the 8th and 9th chapters of the book of the prophet Jeremiah. My joy is gone, grief is upon me, my heart is sick. Hark, the cry of my poor people from far and wide in the land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their images, with their foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of my poor people, I am hurt. I mourn, and dismay has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of my poor people not been restored? Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears, so that I might weep day and night for the slain of my poor people. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Psalm 79 can be found in the insert of your bulletin. Psalm 79. O God, the heathen have come into your inheritance. They have profaned your holy temple. They have given the bodies of your servants as food for the birds of the air.
And
they have shed their blood like water on every side of Jerusalem. We have become a reproach to our neighbors. How long will you be angry, O Lord? Pour out your wrath upon the heathen who have not known you. For they have devoured Jacob. Remember not our past sins. Let your compassion be swift to meet us. Help us, O God, our Savior, for the glory of your name.
Our second reading is from the first book of Timothy. First of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, there is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, "There's a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do so that when I'm dismissed by his manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. And he said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down and quickly and make it 50. Then he asked another, how much do you owe? And he replied, 100 containers of wheat. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. His master commanded the dishonest manager because he was acted shrewdly. The children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the children of the light. I tell you, make for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into their eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much. Whoever is dishonest in very little is dishonest also in much. Then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth. Who will entrust you with true riches? If you have not been faithful what belongs to you to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you for your prayers and your support over the last 3 months and for the amazing opportunity to go on sabbatical, to have the opportunity to reconnect or connect deeper with God and my faith and rest and restore and eat whatever I wanted and go where I wanted when I wanted. But I'd also like to thank the many of you, and I'm not going to name names because I'll leave people out, the amazing work that was done here while I was gone. What I kept telling the vestry and hopefully conveyed in the newsletters is that this is a strong congregation of people of faith, and I trusted that you would flourish during this time. And look at all that was done. The lawn is gorgeous, the new tree in the front yard, the lighting, the exit signs, the ceiling, the dinners, the setting up tables in the pouring rain, the newsletter, the list goes on and on and on and on. Thank you so much for all that you do to maintain this place as a place of faith. So thank you. This time last week, I was in a Czech village called Český Krumlov, and it was one of those medieval villages. And throughout my hikes throughout the Czech Republic, I was with a group and a guide, and they were telling us the history and so much more. We learned about the plants and what you can eat and what you can't eat. Amazing food. If you're a beer drinker, a wine drinker, that's the place to go. I'm not, but they drank their fair share. But in that town, in that village, we learned more about the history. And as we were hiking to the village, we learned more about the history of that village, but also about Christianity in the Czech Republic. So when Christianity spread throughout Europe, the people who were butted up against Germany, which was the Czech Republic, they were Celtic Christians. They were blending their past practices with the Christian faith. They believed in one God. They worshiped Jesus Christ. Rome came along and forced them to be Roman Catholics. And they had feelings about that because they could no longer pray to God in the way they had prayed to God before. They had to pray in Latin, and they didn't understand what was being said, and they couldn't understand the scriptures because they were in Latin. And they sort of fell off, fell away. They're like, I don't understand this. And then all the, I don't want to say corruption that happened in the Roman Catholic Church, but the misguided ways that the Roman Catholic Church had, and people became more and more disillusioned. Jan Hus was one of the first reformers right before Luther, and he was a Czech, he wasn't Czech at that time, Czech man in the 1500s, and he was burned at the stake by the Roman Catholic Church. He was Catholic. He was trying to reform, get rid of the craziness of the Catholic Church, and for that he was burned at the stake, and so the Czech people pulled away further from Christianity. And then the Protestants came and said, okay, we're going to kick out the Catholics and everybody has to become Protestant and nobody likes being told what to do, so they pulled away a little bit further. And then we get to World War II. And we know that the Jews were living alongside and within all the communities of the Czech Republic. And because of the pogroms that happened before the war started, the Jewish people were being evacuated and sent to work camps. And when the war was about to start, for whatever reason, the Allies said, you know what, Czech Republic, we can't help you. We're not going to support you. And they were invaded on the very first day by Germany. The Czech people on the border, all the villages along the border, were told, you can carry 22 kilograms of your possessions and leave. Go. Because Germany was taking over all the border cities. Many of these cities were evacuated. Many of them were bulldozed. And then after the war, communism came, bulldozed more of the country. And this village of Český Krumlov, which is a beautiful medieval village, was vacant for years and years and years. And 30 years ago, when they got freedom, independence, people started moving back in and started restoring. And the government started restoring the castles and the cathedrals and the churches. The government owns the churches there. And I went into this gorgeous cathedral that is being renovated back to what it looked like in its glory, government owned. And I was there last Sunday morning, and there were six people worshiping, six Christians in that city. And they said, everybody agreed they celebrate Christmas and Easter, but they said they would be hard-pressed to tell you what it meant. And I thought, how do you restore hope? How do you restore faith to a people who have been occupied and oppressed and have nobody to teach them what it means? The government said, we're happy to give the churches back to the church, but there's no money. The churches have no people, no money, and they would go into ruins. Very interesting situation, but that's what I hear as I read Jeremiah today. Jeremiah is looking over his city and his people, and he's saying, my joy is gone. My grief is upon me. My heart is sick. The cry of my poor people is far and wide in the land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not in her? Jeremiah is lamenting. Where is God? What has happened to my people? Are they so sin sick, so spiritually ill, that we have no hope? Is there no way to recover this? And he's talking about how people have left the ways that God has taught them, how they're more concerned about their own wealth, their own status, their own prestige, rather than what God has called them to. They've lost their way. And Jeremiah is crying out to them to turn back, but they don't know what to turn back to. And he says, you know, has God left the building? Is there any hope? And then asks, is there any balm in Gilead? We all know that song, that hymn. to heal the sin-sick soul. Is there any hope left? And I'm thinking that we in America, and my experience across Europe as well, we're asking that. Is there any hope left? And then we're going to switch gears completely and go to Luke and say, what in the world is... I don't understand this gospel. And what I've read of all the commentaries, nobody understands this gospel. You've got the rich owner, and he's got a corrupt manager, and somebody brings it to his attention that the manager is corrupt. And so the owner calls and says, you know, put your accounts in order, you're fired. And the manager says, uh-oh, I'm too weak to shovel and too proud to beg, so what am I going to do? Oh, I'll go to all those people that I was corrupt with and make a deal with them so that they'll be my friends again. So he goes and says, what do you owe? Well, I owe 100 whatever of olive oil. And he said, oh, quick, make that 50. And he goes to the next guy and he said, what do you owe? And he said, 100 containers of wheat. And he's like, cross that out, make it 80. He's hedging his bets that somebody will take care of him once he's fired. He goes back to the rich owner, and the rich owner praises him for being shrewd. And then says, you know, like you people of the dark, you're really shrewd. You do that better than the people of the light. And I'm like, have we become so corrupt that even being corrupt is okay? Like you're less corrupt than other people? What is the good news in this story? What does it mean? And then, you know, the parable continues. Those who are faithful in a little are faithful in much, and those who are corrupt in a little are corrupt in much. And we say, yeah, we get that. I can buy that. It's probably generally true. But what's that have to do with anything? And then hopefully he gets to the heart of the matter when he says, no slave can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and wealth. We like to think we can. We like to think that we are serving God as we are amassing our wealth and power and prestige, just like the ancient Israelites did. We have to be sensible, right, and say, well, I have to have a roof over my head and, you know, take care of my kids and my grandkids. So how does this work? What is this saying? I'm currently reading a book by Melinda Gates, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And if you're not a liberal, don't read it. But, you know, it makes a lot of interesting points. She is a Christian. She's Roman Catholic. And a lot of the things that she's observing about what's happening in the world don't quite fit with what the church is teaching, the Roman Catholic Church. But she's really wrestling with, how do we get rid of world poverty? How do we get rid of the obstacles that keep people from just making a living wage? What is happening in our world that the haves and the have-nots, like the middle class, is dying? What's going on here? And she acknowledges, as she's wrestling with all this and doing what she can and listening to people's stories worldwide, that she realized to remove the obstacles of the poor means that she has to give up something too. Not quite sure if she's comfortable giving up some of hers so that others can live a little bit better. And then she goes back to the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself. And she said, that's what we're meant to be doing, but at what cost to me? We wrestle with this. We say, you know, I'm willing to, but... And that's what it boils down to in this gospel, I think. Who are you serving first? Where is your attention focused? Over the last 3 months, I've walked about 1,000 miles. And in those 1,000 miles, I have prayed for each and every one of you more times than you would imagine. I've prayed for God to help me find a bathroom more times than you could imagine. to help me find food, to keep me safe as I'm in a place where it doesn't look quite safe, but there's nobody else around. Where I got to the pit toilet and it says there's cougar in this area. And I'm like, ooh, then maybe I don't want to be here at sunset, but where else am I going to be? I have been sustained by your prayers, but I've also been sustained by so many people on the road and have helped and prayed so many people on the road. It was an incredible experience to walk into situations and not speak the language and know that I was hungry. And can you feed me? Can you help me? And to have people help. And I think about that, the many, many hours of walking alone and with different people. And what sustained me was prayer. And that's where the letter to Timothy comes in. That's where all of this makes sense. I can't decide on my own. Wealth, power, prestige, is it God? Is it I can't serve two masters without prayer? And Timothy makes it really, well, Paul makes it clear to Timothy. He says, first of all, I urge supplication, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone. For everyone. For kings who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. And I think if I could remember that at all times and in all places and all parts of my life, to urge supplication and prayers and thanksgiving for everyone, so that we can all live a quiet and peaceable life in dignity. Maybe that's what we're called to do. Maybe that's the balm that Jeremiah was calling out for. Maybe that's the message in the gospel that Jesus is hoping that we get. Yes, we fall short. Yes, there is corruption. Yes, we make mistakes. But what it boils down to is, who are you serving? Is there hope, or is all hope lost? Is there balm in Gilead? And I believe there is, in prayer. So I'm going to ask a tougher question this week, that each and every decision you make with prayer. And you make that decision saying, what am I serving in this action? Am I serving God or wealth? Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able and join together in reaffirming our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed on page 358 of the Red Book of Common Prayer. Page 358. We believe in one God,
Father of all,
maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in the one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God for God, light for light, true God for true God, begotten, not made, of one made with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation.
Prayers of the People can be found on page 392 of the Red Book of Common Prayer, Form 6, page 392. In peace we pray to you, Lord God, for all people in their daily life and work,
for our families, friends, and neighbors, and those who are alone,
for this community, the nation, and the world,
for all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
We pray for the just and proper use of your creation,
for the victims of hunger, fear, and justice, and oppression,
for all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble, for the peace and unity of the Church of God,
for all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth.
We pray for Michael, our presiding bishop, Prince, our bishop, for Lynn and Gary, our priests, and all bishops and other ministers,
for all who serve God in this church,
for the special needs and concerns of this congregation. Hear us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life.
The people of St. James.
We will exalt you, O God, our King.
And praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them. We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father.
In your compassion, forgive us our sins, now and on our own, things done and left undone, and so hold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Okay, I'm almost ready to say it's good to be back, but boy, is it hard to transition from. And the last leg, so there were ups and downs. Amazing, amazing things happened and some challenges, but the last leg, flying from the Czech Republic to London, London to home, I was up for 48 hours.
Oh, that goodness.
Was a little rough. So I'm still trying to figure out which way's up. I think my laundry's clean, but I can't find it. You know, it'll take a little while. And then I'll be glad to be back. But, you know, I have to, like, get groceries in the house and things. Got some. I got the ice cream. You know, that's... Anyway, so that's to say I'm not really sure what's happening this week. I think we're going to Brookdale. Other than that, I'll figure it out later. There will be a pet blessing on Sunday, October the 1st. I think it's the 5th or 6th, somewhere around there. So we'll be getting posters out about that. Read your newsletter. Thank you for the newsletter. Yes, Janet, Mary. Yes. Thursday, Wednesday, or Thursday, Eucharist. For all who wish to attend, as usual. Are there any other announcements? Yes, Karen. Right. And tomorrow there's going to be a youth group planning meeting. It's coming back to me slowly, tomorrow night. So we'll be planning the year's youth groups. Any other announcements? Reminds me of invasive plants, but we'll talk about that later. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection unto your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where, with all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen. Thank you.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Make me new, Lord Jesus, make me new. For it seems that in so many ways I'm not enough like you. Take this weary vessel I have been and mold me once again. Take my heart, take my spirit, make me new. Make me new, Lord Jesus, make me new. For it seems that in so many ways I'm not enough like you. Take this weary vessel I have been and mold me once again. Take my heart, take my spirit, make me new. Make me new, Lord Jesus, make me new. Please make me new, for it's
prayers found on page 365 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as children.
three members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
And an announcement I forgot is that we will have an anointing immediately after the service. So after I greet people in the back, please come forward if you wish to have an anointing for yourself or on behalf of someone else. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.